It's a simple lesson. This is the children's sporting bets. I'm sure that many of us need that. It's prone to get bogged down. Since which Christ is the throne.
And the message of Hebrews this morning is this point.
There comes a point. We confess us as the God. We give
release unto God.
From this upon what Christ is love.
Christ is love.
Living in fear. Doubt Christ. Living
Going confidently.
So if we turn then to our study, then Hebrews this morning, let's read this morning, and our reading this morning is Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews 10, 1 through 18. We encourage that you following the Bible, and if you'd like to do so, please close a pew Bible and reading the Bible, reading 1006, 1007. Such is our custom, let us stand for some reading stones for the reading of God's word. And we'll take on the whole of this passage, Since the law sits as a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the truth, these realities, the tunnel of the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, that may be perfect those who draw from you, Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be like ceased to God, since the worshippers have been once being sent, with no longer any consciousness. But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is impossible for this blood of all the goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings use not as my own bodies have been prepared for me. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken for pleasure. Then I said, behold, I come to do your will, O God, and it is written of me in the scroll of the book. When he said above, you have but neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings, not burnt offerings and sin offerings, and sin offerings these are offered according to the law. Then he added, behold, I have come to do your will, to do your will. There is a way of the first in order to establish the second, and by that will, by being sanctified, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, every priest stands daily without his savings, and offering repeatedly the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin, but it's good sin. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for the sacrifice, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until then, meaning should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected from all time those who will be sanctified. The Holy Spirit also bears witness to us for afterwards, saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after these days, and as the Lord has put my laws on their hearts, write them on their mind. Then he asked, I will remember that sin and that in solace there is no more deeds. Where there is forgiveness of this, forgiveness there is no longer any offering for sin. For the reading of God's word, please be seated. Well, this latest sermon in the series of Hebrews was a major crisis of faith. So superior to us, and we'll take in these 18 verses this morning. I'm sure I'm not alone in feeling others is feeling with such an opinionated day. Other people have more than you know, it's not used to that we have more access to those. So I'm finding it increasingly refreshing to come to friendship to couple, where we are not dealing with any human intention, we are dealing with divinely inspired, authoritative writing. It's not simply that, but writing as much as the superior character, person, of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the older I get, the more I get, more joy it is through God, reflect through God's flesh. We've got to come away from the hobby, from the coffee of life enough daily, then reflect upon the Lord Jesus. And it's a thrill as we seem to know that Jesus Christ is superior to the same. We connect with the series and support the phases. That's what we find in chapters 1, verse 1, and chapter 2, verse 18, and then we saw that Christ is superior to the least of the least of the Moses, the only least of the least of the least of Egypt, the Old Testament figure, enslavement of sin, enslavement of sin, Joshua, then to lead God, that people in God, on his land. Yet we follow Christ, we follow Christ, and leads us out of slavery, and leads us into the promised land, all the way home, all the way. And then in this longest section of the book, which follows chapters 3 and 4, we have begun from chapter 5, verse 1, to see that Christ is superior to any form, any time, any priest. And we are coming now today to the end of chapter 8, and especially with the sense to see how he is superior to the Levitical priesthood, because that's bringing the temptation of the Jewish readers of this book. Go back to that priesthood, to go back to those sacrifices, because they were jaded as time and age persecuted for Jesus Christ. So in these 18 verses, we look at today, we're looking at dealing with the final summary of this long section, the bigger section. We're also actually closing out the main doctrinal content of the So next week, Lord willing, we will want to see us to want this immune to our lives. That's one thing to believe, that's right to believe, you get to see that, to confess it. But what does it mean to live out that glorious truth that Christ is superior? It may be the case that you have found these latter chapters and latter chapters. I think it's important to say, first of all, it's best of all, our thinking tends to go in your fashion, in your fashion. But that he prayed by the simple thing around and around and around, like a spinning target. The spinning top still to make what in order to make the point, to make the recap.
And as we left off a month ago with this book of Hebrews, we saw Hebrews,
this being a matter of life and death, the teaching concerning the priesthood of the Lord Jesus.
Go back with me to the previous chapter, 9, verse 26 and 27. We're comparing the precept in Christ to the precept of the Old Testament. Israel, the author says that anyone has asked that to solve repeatedly such the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the ends of the ages, and he put away his sin by the sacred service of himself. And just as it is twice if a man divided one answer, and after that comes the church of Christ, you're putting to Christ for me once offered to bear the sins of men, will this second, you are not to deal with sin, but to say that it's
been able to wait to eat me before 10.
Yes,
what the author has written is repetitive. But I'm so thankful that it's because we have one shot of damage. One shot. Appearing before God. So either we are in favor with God or for evil. It's simple, straightforward. Every one of us. Is either in favor with God or out of favor with God. And that's the way that we celebrate here before God.
And so this reading is a life.
Yeah, that issue.
That issue reminded of the question that we posed to church. We've
preached 400 times on the next 2 hours. Before he came, before he came. He was asked, why do you preach so often on that text? Just on that text. As Christ has answered all the titles, because we must speak to you before he came.
We're following through there while the author says that the priest of the priesthood. Because unless, as it's anterior priesthood, you make this priest is your priest, is your priest,
then eternity looks very dark. You will remain under your permission. You will remain without an answer for your sin.
And you will inevitably,
in other words, depart from me, for I never knew you. You will bear with the author, and bear with me, and we can bear with yourself back. It's an act of love on behalf of the author, to speak repeatedly about the priest of the Christ. And I trust you'll find it an act of love for me to follow through the page today. Not to cut corners and to say, well, what done all that? Let's just move on to the juicy parts of our duty. No, let's come to this summary once, and find the author identifies three final arguments.
My Hebrews,
must cling to Christ, not go back to the priest of the Old Testament, to the sacrifices of the Old Testament, to normal speaking of that, keep and profess Christ, to our own version, our own these things. And so the author gives us these three arguments. The first argument is that the shadow does not say, no, this is one of the four. He refers to the law as a shadow of the words, and he's not talking about the moral law, the moral law, what he's provided.
Nor is he talking here about the defunct judicial law,
the rules of the theocracy for the nation of Israel was before.
He's talking of the way in which the ceremonial law has been fulfilled in the week Jesus and
since Christ personifies the reality of the reality of God. His point is that we no longer need the ceremonial law.
And his argument then unfolds in four steps.
Its first step is found in the written words of Jacob's head,
the illustration. For since the law is not a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities,
so he's pressing home the fact that the ceremonial law is a priest that is offering
a shadow.
But a shadow is a word that he's already introduced back in chapter 8, verse 5. And there he writes, that is the priest and this offering thing, they're offering a copy, a shadow, and shadow of the heavenly things. So he's saying that he's paid to go back then to the priests of the Old Testament, the offerings of the Old Testament. It's just a shadow, it pales in comparison with our tribes. Indeed, if you look at the Greek of the chapter 10, the very first word for this emphasis in verse 1 is shadow. These things that you're using to go back to, in order to avoid persecution from being to follow the Christ, was about a shadow. The word about a shadow is a meaning. Illustration, the first thing I said, is that you cannot have a shadow without light. And there's a tonight. There's light here, and they're giving off a shadow. The shadows are possible. Shadows are light.
Well, what is the author saying? And what the author is saying, that it was the light of the bizarre
that created the priesthood, that created the sacrifices, so that they gave us the good news of the gospel in a dark world. And then I believe he's also saying that you cannot have a shadow without a reality. You know that. I don't know. Look at a shadow. And you know some sense of what the reality is that is made by the shadow. By the shadow,
we need to say that he was not the priesthood and sacrifices were shaped.
So the eternal Son of God ordained about priesthood and sacrifices shaped. Ceremonial laws, Son of God, predated the ceremonial laws.
And so this means gives even
the shape to the priesthood, and the ceremonial laws, not the priesthood,
not
the
sacrifices, to the Christ who was to the Christ.
And then notice also that the shadow is not the reality. He's saying to the readers, he's very readers, that as much as you attempt to turn your back from Christ,
to hang on to the shadow and not the reality, and not the ceremonial laws, the shadow of the shadow.
But Christ is literally exact image of the reality.
One of the Jews is trying to do it, means the business they exist. And he is saying, in effect, take the ceremony of the law, spiritual new gospel,
the gospel, only Christ will actuate the gospel. See about this, what in gospel, or because it's not the Old Testament, it's not the New Testament. And under the Old Testament, you have your shadow, and that Christ in the New Testament,
you have the reality. Reminded for those who like support
some of the language, the language of manhood, the Mandarin, the British, the you hear them say it, you'll hear the forest doctor, and as they get to the course, they get to the more final of a competition, the manager of the judgment will say, whereas the business end, as they get to the end of the long season, it's often 8 matches, it's 8 matches, we're getting to the business end, we can't afford injuries, we can't afford to be out of form, because this is the business end. So what's the illustration? The illustration is that was the shadow of the reality of the business, where Christ Christ does the business. The shadow points to the business.
But Christ actuates God's pointing gospel on the cross.
So the author is saying that to reject Christ is to leave the gospel business that God's done in our lives.
We reject times,
either by not professing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ,
but having professing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then going over and jettison that profession.
So that's the illustration. And then in the second half, we have the second step, the explanation. It can never,
the ceremonial law,
by the same sacrifice that's continually offered every year, make perfect
those who draw near.
See, this is the past, that's our line.
That in order to draw near to a terrible year, to have a bigger
and as I've said before, it's not perfect, it's not perfect.
Whatever you do, don't die.
Whatever you do, stay alive.
Stay alive. Stay within the day of death.
So the Levitical priesthood, the sacrificial system, are useful for 70 years to the gospel, to the cross.
But no matter how many sacrifices were made over 1500 years, they're all the time that
I get in the Old Testament. First, chapter 7, verse 27, chapter 9, verse 25,
none of them could make a sinner perfect.
It's perfect. To draw near to God,
they were preparatory
laws, not perfected.
They were anticipatory, not so faithfully fulfilled.
Notice
the burden of the author,
and it's the burden of every faithful pastor.
We might have people,
in our share,
who think that in some way they can draw away to the God,
draw to perfection, is not the same, is not that.
But I'm going to go out and fall out into before God, so that's before God is.
Surely, that's just good enough.
The author is saying, no,
you have to be perfect and draw near to the God,
because the perfect God,
is not like a perfection, like perfection,
whom you can never please.
A perfect God requires perfection, because his virtues on his conscience,
and his holiness on the other hand, is
actually in love, provides perfection.
So the author is saying, don't only search Jesus Christ, you see Christ.
He's the one you need to cling to, because he alone can see as a perfect expiation through expiation, through
only his shoulder,
all your sins.
Even the ones you don't even understand, you for the standard youth.
Those blind spots in the area of the near,
those blind spots in the area of speech,
those blind spots in the area of action,
he alone provides the perfect expiation.
And what happens as a result of that, of the faith, but in Christ,
He says, you have a complete
set,
your conscience is quiet, your heart is pure,
Any other attempt at expiating your sin will fail.
And any other attempt at
saying, well, I will trust in Jesus, I will trust
my sin,
my needs,
plan B, to make sure
we're going to we're bound to fail,
you add to Christ,
you add away from Christ,
take away from Christ.
If you have a perfect case,
supposing that could be the case,
you start tampering with it,
what's going to happen?
You're going to ruin it.
So many people now,
so many days,
I'll present it with a perfect expiation
of this.
I don't know if I can trust in that,
I saw how it
is. And they ruin the edifice of the gospel,
and they are not
ready to appear before God.
In fact, they cannot actually
call you this,
because you have stayed apart from me.
For I never
knew, but
I still
see
your
sins.
So notice then, the determination,
there is a determination.
Otherwise, would they have not
had to face the office,
since the office
worship has been
worshipped, since
no longer have any
conscience has
been
sent. In other words, the author is saying,
but if the shadow granted,
he could worship as
perfection.
And the sacrificial system,
job done.
Christ would not be needed.
Were this the case,
he could worship as
he could retain as
nagging with
sentence.
Ultimately,
but as it is, the sacrificial system
was shut down.
Not because it
procured atonement for sin,
but because Christ, the atoning sacrifice
of which you have to find which
you
find. In other words, the system
gave way to Christ.
And let's be clear about this, because some of us may be wondering about this
master of
Christ succeeds,
not because he takes away
our
sins.
We all have it.
Nor our sensitivity
tended
against
sin. In fact,
we become more sensitive.
Nor our need,
nor our penitence
of remaining sin within
the direction of
sin on something.
But because he takes away,
never could.
Our everlasting,
guilt,
our sense of being
outside God's favor,
by God's favor,
and our sense of needing
is neither.
And tell him,
oh, that's what he takes away.
And so the fourth step then is
finding verses 3 and 4.
And in these sacrifices,
there is sacrifice
that fills our sins every year.
Is it possible for the
blood of all
single ghosts
to take away
sin?
So the sacrifices are not
going to take away the sense of
guilt and condemnation
of mine.
Every
annual day of
atonement,
that they actually,
as it gets,
no longer
permanent,
no assurance,
no assurance
of acquittal.
So the sacrifices could have only pointed
on the future,
the reality
of the ability
of the
bit
of the cross.
But as things stood,
and remains,
as
the author impossible,
so the blood of bulls and goats
to take
goats away
sin.
I think it's important then,
in terms of our practice
in the Christian church,
to be
very,
very aware of what the author is saying
here.
Let me speak
a moment about our weekly
confession
of sin.
It is, as we say,
lest we yet remain
unconverted,
for our restoration
is not free
from
our
salvation.
We don't come
to our confession of sin,
each Lord has
been to the atonement.
May
it not impact upon
our lives,
we need another
atonement.
Rather, we can't
draw confession of sin.
Each Lord's
day,
we can't
say that
it comes from all
offering for sin.
And on the basis of that,
I need to do
that.
I review my own life
on the basis of the Word of God.
And I ask myself,
how is it that I am still not living in gratitude for that one sort of one offering? That is very different than what the Hebrews were doing, coming every year because they've told them that not being made, not being paid, and still feeling that there was a sin, that there was condemnation and guilt. And then think also about the people suffer. We come to the table. Yes, we reckon. Yes, we reckon that we have been sinners. And there is remaining sin in our lives. But says Jesus, we don't come to remember our sins. We come to remember Christ. Do this in remembrance of the fact that you are worthy. That's not what Jesus says. Do this in remembrance of me. And as much as I remain in sin, it is not this sin which gets the highest billing. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that has described as computers, commentators, the gospel transforms, and makes remembrance from a remembrance of guilt to remembrance of grace. That is why when we come to the Lord's table, we are able to come and to celebrate the seven years, but to celebrate the Lord's Supper.
Some of our traditions and the gospel do it, but it's
blessed. So no matter what sin has been permitted, the blame goes to Jesus Christ. I come and remind you to him, even if you're confessing your faith, confessing your faith, the Lord Christ, right? We don't come to the table.
Verse 10.
words, by that will be I sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, which is once for all.
For all. In other words, by that one offering,
those who put their trust in Christ for it, Christ for
it, we are cleansed.
We are definitively
cleansed.
Definitively
set apart from the world,
belonging to God.
Belonging to God.
I want to make a theological point. If you believe in one way, if you just believe in Christ, sacrifices are justification.
Justification.
Sometimes the New Testament, sometimes it's a difficult.
Other times it arises from the Reformation,
from justification,
which is
the Reformation,
from the Reformation,
and so sometimes it's
very nice to read
justification,
justification,
which is not
found in
us. Maybe the temptation here is
she speaks.
Some of us have been justified in the offering of
the body of Jesus,
but also have been
sanctified and set apart
by the body, by the Christ
of Christ.
The author links Christ's
priestly work,
where the power sanctification
happens,
not only here, but in chapter 2 and verse
11, chapter 10,
verse 14,
and verse 1.
Why?
Well, to stress,
to stress,
cleansing,
to God,
to God.
If you are without
you can
and found in Jesus Christ,
Jesus Christ, Christ,
why
can you not
enter heaven?
It is because
it is unclean.
There is nothing
in heaven,
no one in heaven
who is
unclean.
And the other reason for
this brief
sanctification
of the pitch
is to declare
to
deter
those who
fail the way
of cleansing Jesus Christ
from drifting back
to the back
into the unclean world. And so he says, that we have been sanctified,
set apart,
set apart.
No one belonging to
God, belonging to Christ.
We have been cleansed,
we offer in the body of Jesus Christ
once
for all. And then fourthly, we trust in the intercession of Christ,
verses 11,
verses 13,
14.
The work of the Old Covenant priest,
the Old Covenant
priest, he says in verse 11,
every priest
stands daily
and is in his
offerings,
repeated offerings,
same sacrifices,
which can never
take away his
sins.
They couldn't do the business
end of business.
Yet Christ,
offered for all time
a single one
sacrifice.
And thus what happened?
So where does they stand?
Where do they stand
to do this?
He sits down,
He's finished his work.
The very book of Hebrews,
very beginning, Hebrews,
where he was
one verse 3,
after making purification
for sin,
he sat down,
he's sat down,
and majesty,
and majesty.
What did Jesus say in
this passage?
Jesus said,
John 17,
I have glorified your
name, I have
been accomplished,
now how do you
begin to
do? And Jesus cried out,
it is finished,
Kedah Esther.
And so as the God-man,
he's raised to the Father's
right hand,
for
the work that he has done in our
flesh,
he has sat down.
The other thing that
we are noticing
here is that
he waits,
and
in Acts
18,
we've already learned from
verse 18
that he helps the
tempted.
We have learned from chapter
4,
that he gives mercy
and grace
to those who
please.
We learn from chapter 7,
verse 25,
to the 9,
verse 24,
that he intercedes,
he prays,
he pleads, he
aggregates
with people. But
he's waiting all the day
for evidence and
fine evidence
to be spoken
about Psalm 110.
Why
the wait?
Why the
wait? You are yet to
profess your faith
in the Lord Jesus Christ's
day, which is the right of
David to the Lord.
He could see his enemies,
he could see his enemies,
and his books
could be there.
But God in his grace,
God in his grace,
extended
the same grace.
So that sinners may come to face in this
way with faith.
Any other thoughts?
Any other thoughts?
On the lines.
But Jesus Christ,
as Jesus Christ,
as I seek the Father,
rewarded for what he's done,
waiting
for sinners,
for sinners.
Why wait?
Why wait?
Don't presume upon
the waiting
of someone. Wait.
Come.
Come
today.
So the third argument then,
not
relinquishing Christ, but clinging
onto him.
On verses 15 to 18,
for the spirit,
carrot,
lie,
carrot,
lie.
Once again,
we come
to the gates of the face,
and the other place.
God establishes
our truth,
he sets up
2 or 3
wits,
2 or 3
prices,
and 1 wit
is he spoken
for, some 40,
some 40.
And the spirit is the other,
the spirit is the
statue,
the hostage.
So in referencing,
the author,
the first detail is
from verse 15,
and the Holy Spirit
also
bears witness
to us.
What a
wonderful
truth that is.
Yes, our faith rests on
faith's historical
facts,
but it also rests
on the ongoing
circle of
the Holy Spirit
in our hearts.
It is vital
for our assurance.
When we think about the prospect
of coming
to God in death,
and also in
life before that,
but
we understand
that we are not
standing on
Lord Christ, who is
testifying
to the
success
of the cross,
the mission accomplished.
But it is also
the Spirit
who testifies
that this
is
not
God.
And we,
that our
eyes and
our flows,
if you look on
his head,
that the Spirit of God is
holy,
that he does not
she
does
not,
he does not
listen.
In other words,
as the Holy Spirit
takes hold of the
Bible, he
applies
it to our minds
and our
hearts,
and this assurance,
that the Holy Spirit
will not mislead
me, because the Holy Spirit
of God inspires
faith
in
his mind,
but the Holy Spirit
of God
makes faith
in his mind,
in life
and in death.
That's our assurance.
And the other thing here is
that he bears witness.
He's a legal witness
to the Gospels.
He testifies
to the false prophets.
God sanctified
to set apart,
to cleanse,
born
with the chosen
Christ,
and only on that basis
can we come to
God.
So where else then
the fact
of cleansing rests in what
Christ rests in
the enjoyment of
that cleansing
rests in
what Christ
does.
That's the first detail.
And then the second detail,
verse 16.
As in chapter 3, verse 7, chapter 9, verse 8, chapter 1, 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 verse 8,
the Bible circulates in the explanation of the scriptures, even if many proud people are not able to look at paper.
And the Spirit uses Jeremiah 31:4 to remind us readers that the mind has been back.
If you are tempted to go back to Christ, this one, in fact, this one, why?
Well, first of all, because very covenant with his mind. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. God initiated the covenant, I should be forgiven. We receive not only purity, not only responsibility to remain faithful, to remain because, through belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, we entered this covenant, and we cannot break the covenant.
What is more, we are guided by the Lord, guided by the Lord, no longer just an external obligation, but one written.
So what's the author saying?
The author is saying, those who are authentic, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, they stick,
God.
And not
go back,
but unclean world,
Second detail.
And then the third detail, verses 17, 18,
then he adds, I will remember this, and the Lord sees no more, where there is forgiveness, there is no longer
for sin. Promise of the new covenant is that we no more need to remember our sins or repent of our sins.
For God remembers them, God remembers no more.
Is that one of the personal temptations that we have?
Well, I haven't been sorry enough for my sins. I need to keep flagellating myself
to the sins of the Lord,
just in case the atonement doesn't work,
don't we just flagellate myself all the time?
What is the author saying?
The author says, if we can do all sins like that,
I know I have this temptation, I know this temptation, I like it.
No different from ancient Hebrew worship, but it's been the day of atonement, the day of atonement. I've got to remember my sins, I say my animal, I sacrifice my animal. And I never get away from this, What do I do?
I'm not saying that our atonement is under time, by the way, which we react with,
like reacting with joy, which
under mind.
And so what does he say?
In the essence of forgiveness,
yes, because of Christ,
because of Christ,
God puts our sins, our sins.
How do we know?
Because God has ended the sacrifice.
It's done. It's done. It's done for all.
And on the sanctity of human life,
I say this.
We've all sinned here.
In the words of Downton Abbey, we've all chapters of our lives, chapters of our life, I've read aloud.
And on the sanctity of human life,
We hope.
But we also.
The notion that there can be no sugar that speaks for having abortion,
It is very disconcerting. The percentage of professing Christians who fasting Christians have abortion.
Perhaps more Protestants than Catholics.
What's the abortion doctrine? What's the abortion doctrine?
We'll stop performing abortions if you stop
sending speakers
to before them.
It's a travesty of the
Australian system.
It is a shame upon the church,
shame upon the church, Jesus Christ.
But the flip side of it is this.
Not yours.
No matter.
I will bring my sins.
No more.
Not because.
I'm going to treat them like.
Cost me some.
But because my grace is sufficient.
We are forgiven.
Because of the monster of death, because Jesus has
come. How do we know?
Because we no longer
offer it.
As if his atonement is not taken.
So let me conclude with this.
Since all this is so,
if you're outside of Christ,
what is your response to this?
Seek forgiveness.
You are called upon
to jettison,
any sacrifice.
The importance of fleeing from sin.
In short,
we don't drift from sin.
We don't drift from sin.
But but we press against sin, clinging ever tighter and ever tighter to the Savior. He's finished the doctrine of intellectual content, and from next week we'll go on to see how we put the superiority of Christ into effect in our lives. May God be blessed, praised, through His Word, through His Word of God. And as we heard, and as we heard in our sinners, if you are yet to profess your faith in the voices of God, we love to see you in our sessions. We love to hear what God does amongst us. Let's pray.
Our eternal God and Father, we thank you for your Word.
We confess that we may be in Christ for many years, and yet because we have yet enemies, because of the frailty of the frailty, we might not yet have appropriated truly. What is the good news? What is the good news of God? Help us to do so, and clinging to Christ, to know we have a perfection of perfection, whereby we can draw near to you in prayer, follow your word, with the saving, with the sanctifying, will give you the praise, through Jesus Christ, on the peace of Christ.